tonight.
Madam Chair, and I think if Senator Benson could withdraw her initial motion on a delete all amendment, we'll offer this one.
Senator Howe, why don't you explain the amendment first?
Well, we had several testimony earlier, and we worked with the various different agencies, and we believe the delete all amendment now is in its proper form. We've corrected all the things that we talked about earlier during this hearing, and I think...
For what, Senator Howe?
What's that?
Can you go through the corrections, please?
You know what? I'll defer to the Department of Colleen.
Colleen?
Department of Health, Colleen. I'm sorry.
Okay. That would be a good business card. Yeah.
Madam Chair, committee members, again, I'm Colleen Paulus with the Minnesota Department of Health. Going through the bill in terms of the changes on lines 1.14 to 1.15, the words were taken out so that we were emphasizing specifically on the type of activities that folks felt that they wanted to include, such as the weddings, the fellowship meals, or funerals. On line 2.18, the words were changed on 2.19 in regards to school concession stands, so that school concession stands serving commercially prepared non-potentially hazardous foods would be exempted. And what this means, there's a specific definition for potentially hazardous foods in Chapter 4626, basically foods that do not need refrigeration or heat, more dry shelf type stable food. Lines 2.24 to 2.28 were modified, and we came up with an agreement so that the faith-based organizations serving meals, having fundraisers, or some type of a community event conducted in their building or on their grounds would be exempted as long as they had the food safety course and they trained food preparation workers. And then it would also allow those organizations that choose to apply for a license. And then on 2.29 to 2.31, those sentences were modified so that food service events, just like the school concession stands, for disaster relief staff and volunteers, if they were serving commercially prepared non-potentially hazardous foods, would be exempt.
Ms. Paulus, so my Ducks Unlimited and my St. Lutheran's chicken feed and all that, they're going to be okay with this. Is that correct? And any of my little communities that are having their little social events will be all right with this, or do they have to go through some kind of training and food preparation?
In terms of the faith-based organizations' buildings?
This is just for faith-based organizations. Okay.
Yes.
And not the fire halls or?
No.
Okay.
Madam Chair, they'd continue to be, as they do now, with their, whether it's their pancake feeds or what have you, they'd continue under the same statute that they currently operate under.
Don't mess with my roasted chicken feeds here.
All right.
And my pancake suppers. We have a lot of those down there. Senator Berglund.
I'll move the amendment.
Senator Berglund, I believe Senator Benson needs to withdraw her motion.
I'll withdraw my previous motion.
And Senator Berglund moves the A1 amendment. Any questions on the A1 amendment? Any questions from the audience who testify? All those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No? Amendment is adopted. With that,
move the bill.
Senator Berglund moves. Senator Berglund moves that Senate File 477 as amended.
No, it's going to be laid over and amended to the policy bill.
Senator Berglund moves that Senate File 477 as amended be laid over and incorporated into the omnibus bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Thank you, Senator Howe, for your work in making this happen.
Thank you.
They were not, they didn't think, they thought they were going to travel.
We have everything else.
You're for deck.
Which ones do we have?
Yeah, that's fine.
Just, yeah, make sure the house does that too, because they're.
Well, no, they're done. They're done. They moved their bill.
They moved this bill?
They, no, they moved the policy bill already.
And this isn't it?
Right.
It isn't in it?
Why don't you, why don't you have it travel by its own then?
No, it didn't. It's laid over. They didn't move the bill.
They didn't move.
But this one, if we move this one separately, we need deadline.
They've got all week. Why don't you just let this travel by itself?
They'll have all next week to do it, and from what I hear of what's in the house bill, it's not going to get signed. So if I had a bill, I'd send it separate.
Okay.
Well, maybe we should send it.
Yes, to the floor.
Both ways.
Let's send it.
We can do it both ways.
We can do that.
Yeah.
I'll move the bill go on its own as well, Madam Chair.
Okay. Senator Howe, thank you. Members, we're going to go ahead and make another motion on Senate File 477 that it be, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. And also, the previous motion was to lay it over and put into the omnibus bill. Any questions on that? Questions from the audience? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay, Senator Han.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, before I begin, is Mr. Lobaker, he was preparing an amendment.
Yes.
And is he still working on that, or is he?
So, Senator Howe, or Senator Han, are you on 1137, or are you?
Well, I want to take up 1137, assuming we have the amendment that we were working on ready. But if it's not, we may defer for a few minutes. I don't know if we have it. Okay. Just make copies and we'll. Madam Chair?
You have it.
I guess we do have copies. But before we take that up, I would like to at least introduce the bill and invite some testimony on the bill. This is a bill that is part of actually a set of three bills that were brought to the legislature by Lutheran Social Services that deal with reform. And I would like to provide the committee an opportunity to hear from the genesis, or the generator of the idea, if you will. And we'd like to turn it over to Amber Reichka Young.
Welcome, Senator. How are you?
Thank you. Very, very fun. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, Madam Chair and members. It really is a privilege. I want to just make sure that I correct the record. I'm not the generator of the idea. The whole executive team of Lutheran Social Service and a number of stakeholders from throughout the state have been very strong participants in My Life, My Choices. I do, Madam Chair, have this diagram for those who have not yet seen the overall. It might be the easiest way just to make sure.
This is My Life, My Choices.
Council.
I'm sorry, Council. All right.
Thank you. My name is Amber Reichgott Young, and I am Vice President and Chief Advancement Officer of Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota. And as Senator Han has indicated, My Life, My Choices really consists of three bills, and I'll just put this in the context of the three bills. The first bill is a bill that amends the existing human services statutes that give more flexibility for the whole area of consumer-directed. And that is already, that is going separately through the Finance Committee. The second bill is a bill that is a task force, the creation of a task force, which I believe you listened to yesterday, and our COO was here to testify in favor of that. That task force is the part of this which helps us to redesign a system that will deliver services in a new way for people with developmental disabilities. What we're looking at with My Life, My Choices is redesigning a system, if you will, where the person with a disability is at the center of the system, that person has the choices and has the opportunity to select the services that he or she really need and want for their quality of life. So it really is very much creating a system around the individual with the disability and their trusted partner. The third bill, then, that is in this threesome is a bill that helps us to move this forward more quickly before the redesign of the system is done by the task force. We're hoping that the task force will come here in 2012 with some recommendations about how we would make the system look like this back page or the new system that we have on this picture. What we're hoping, then, is that in the time between now and then that we would have an opportunity for to try some of these ideas ahead of time and to get experience and some practice and to be informed to help to inform the task force and to help to inform the legislature next year. So this bill before you, Senate File 1137, is a performance-based organization bill that would allow that flexibility for the Department of Human Services and up to two other departments to become a performance-based organization and to enter into some performance-based contracts for people with disabilities to allow the opportunity to try some of these ways where we could really trade some of the really focus on results in a performance-based contract in return for waiver of some of the regulations. And we're hoping that by doing that on a pilot basis, that the results of that might be able to inform our work in the task force and inform our work next year together as we try to redesign the system. So, Madam Chair and members, that is what this is essentially, that's how it fits into the overall focus of My Life, My Choices. And we have been just thrilled, and I want to really just say that to everyone with the response that we have received from this initiative from all parties, and we're very, very excited about the opportunity to really improve the quality of life for the people we serve, and we serve many, many people with disabilities throughout the state.
Thank you, Ms. Raykach-Young. Sorry. I do have a question. You said in response or in exchange of some of the wavering of some of the regulations. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yes. Madam Chair and members, so what this might look like, let me give you an example. Let's say the Department of Human Services then is designated to be a PBO by the governor. Then at that point, the commissioner can enter into contracts. They might, for example, the commissioner might say, we wanted to contract with a series of, with a group of counties in northern Minnesota because they want to try doing something a little bit differently in their services for people with disabilities. And what we're going to do in that contract is we're going to put the performance objectives in the contract, and the commissioner is going to say, this is what we want to see. And in return, we'll allow you the flexibility to do that. And here's what we're going to allow in that contract. So you give us these results, we'll give you this flexibility in return. You could do that not only with a group of counties, but you could do it with a nonprofit organization. An organization like Lutheran Social Service or other organizations would be very willing to try some new things. And the hope is that we can bring back some results, maybe some cost-effective type savings that we have been able to find in our work, and that might inform the task force as to how that might work on a larger scale.
That's a great idea. You know, I do have a bill, the pay-for-performance bill, which is very similar.
Sounds similar.
It's based off same as measures that need to be met, and when you meet these measures, then you are paid at the end. You although exchanging some relief on some of the regulations and some of the mandates, is that correct?
Exactly.
I love it. Senator Berglin.
I just have a question for Senator Hahn, and that is this going to have a fiscal note?
Senator Hahn.
Madam Chair and Senator Berglin, I don't believe so. We have not. I don't believe so. I don't know that there's any.
Senator Berglin, would it be because of the department's involvement?
We do have a report here, and sometimes right. When we have reports, they cost money. We also do have the Commissioner of Human Services mandated to establish this working group and to do these duties, and sometimes when we do that, they give us fiscal notes. So I just thought if there there isn't going to be one, we should have checked that out ahead of time, because otherwise.
Senator Berglund, on my pay-for-performance bill, there was no fiscal note except for the bonds that were going to be let, but the department knows that this is something that they're going to do, and they didn't come with a fiscal note, and we asked, and they said it was going to be fine. So I would assume that this is part of all the reform that we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Madam Chair, it's fine for us to say that they're going to do reform, but I would prefer to hear from them that they don't need any additional resources, especially when we have conference committees out there that are cutting their staff by 20%.
Ms. Reikosh, yeah.
Madam Chair, I absolutely would yield to the department. They are here. What I would like to just draw the analogy to for the committee and why this is this went through the system differently than the others, which did have fiscal notes attached to them, for My Life, My Choices, is because this is basically a policy-oriented bill. It provides a tool, a new tool for the department to use different in creating and some of these new contracts. The analogy I'll use is it's very much like the charter school bill that went through many years ago, where the schools were able to trade the regulation in some cases for the results. And there was never a fiscal note that was attached to that legislation back then. Doesn't mean to say that the department doesn't have many, many needs with all the things that are coming forward for new staffing, and so this will be one that's added to it. But this bill is primarily a policy bill, and I do think for My Life, My Choices, there are definitely fiscal implications that they have brought forward. So with that, I can yield if you'd like.
Senator Hamm.
Madam Chair, and I think there is somebody from the department that might want to comment on the bill and like to invite
absolutely.
That comment at this time.
Senator Hahn, I think, too, we do need a clarification between the original bill and the deletal.
Right. We're talking about the original bill at this point.
At this point.
Yes.
And so we'll need a clarification on the A1. Somebody from the department. Good. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Alex Bartolik. I am with the Department of Human Services. For the original bill, while it is permissive and it doesn't necessarily in and of itself have a fiscal note, if we were to enter into agreements, possibly work with federal waiver amendments, there would be some administrative cost.
Thank you, Ms. Bartolik. Senator Berglund.
So, Madam Chair and Ms. Bartol, I understood that this was to create some pilot projects. So if there are any pilot projects, would that have a fiscal impact?
Ms. Bartolik.
Madam Chair and Senator Berglund, yes, we do believe that in order to manage the establishment of the contracts and some of the federal agreements, because most of our disability services are funded with Medicaid, and so when we start making rule changes, it actually does require us to either inform or seek permission from the federal government. So we would like to support the process, but it will engage some staff time.
And Senator Hahn, this is a working group. Senator Berglund, this
sure.
is a working group.
If I could just ask about the A1 amendment, would it have a fiscal impact?
Ms. Bartolik.
As long as you're telling us about fiscal impacts.
Ms. Bartolik.
Madam Chair, we just have seen this, but to establish a working group to manage this, to be able to be responsive to what people are trying to do, there would need to be some administrative resources dedicated to it.
Ms. Bartolik, to the working group to study this?
In order to help facilitate it, to be able to, when people have ideas, to do the research, to understand, is it within state authority to do? Are there going to be linkages with some of the federal amendments that we have in order to make available the services? The piece that I do want to say is there's a lot of things that are being looked at right now, and what we haven't had a chance to talk about is how can we leverage activities. So if there's a number of things that we're doing that would look at these programs that may be funded in a different way, we could potentially look at packaging and leveraging some of those activities to be encompassed together. So it's hard to say what it would be because it depends on the context of what else we're working on.
So, Ms. Bartolik, is this something that you could absorb and just do it within your own budget at this point, since it is just a working group and it's not being...
Madam Chair, right now, without knowing what we are going to have for administrative resources and knowing the amount of work we have, I can't commit to that.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I haven't asked for consideration of the amendment yet. I wanted to at least have an opportunity to talk about what this bill is designed to do and then to talk a little bit about the A1 amendment. If you'd like, I can just ask that we bring that up, and before I move to accept it, I would like to have a little bit of discussion. The reason that I asked for an amendment to be drawn is there have been a few questions raised about the original bill and the kind of authority and powers that are delegated to the department, and just wanting to make sure that, to use the analogy of the charter schools, that there is a sufficient structure in place to manage that activity. And it's not clear to me that the bill as it's written does that. I'm not sure that my amendment is the right way to do that either. But I wanted to try to raise that question of we may need to give some consideration of what kind of structure we're going to put in place. So I thought, well, one way to do that would be to ask for the construction of some kind of a group of folks to think about how this would work and perhaps devise a structure that would be workable. That was my point. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure yet if what the direction we should take on that. But that was the reason for the amendment. I don't certainly want to try to create fiscal notes or things that are unworkable, but I think there is some concern just about the delegation of powers to the departments that may be not quite clear what the ramifications of those delegations might be.
Mm-hmm. And I see, Senator Hand, this needs to be done by the 2012, which is a year and a half from now. The report.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Higgins.
But it's due on November 1st of 2012, a couple of days before the next election. And who's going to be here? I'd like to know who's going to be here on November 1st to accept this.
And Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, I'm certainly open to having that date be altered. That
January 15th, 2013.
Senator Higgins.
At least somebody will be here. I'll move that.
Senator Higgins moves that we change the date on the A1 amendment, line 2.7, to January 1st of 2013.
Is the A1 amendment before us?
It is. We have not adopted it yet.
No, he hasn't. Did you offer it?
I have offered it. I guess we haven't voted on
it. We have not moved.
I asked if we could take it up and talk about it because I'm not. I just want to have some discussion about that to see if that is a direction that we might want to pursue in this.
So, Senator Hamm, are you fine with that change of date?
I'm fine with the change of date, Madam Chair.
Senator Higgins?
So this working group would put together a framework that the legislature could work from. Is that what you're envisioning this to be?
Senator Hamm.
Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, I'm trying to go back to the analogy that was raised about the charter school structure. And what we did with that is we wanted to create a way to have an alternative, and we created a chartering process. And we've now recently done some other changes to create authorizers. And so we have created a structure by which this alternative education process is working through. And my thought is that this is, we're trying to envision something similar to that, but I'm not sure if we've really determined what that structure ought to look like. And so what we've done in the bill, original bill, is to delegate a lot of authority to the commissioner to do things, or various commissioners just to do things. And I thought it might be useful to say, well, maybe we don't want to go that far yet. Maybe we want to get some more thought about how that structure ought to be put together before we delegate broad powers to that structure to do things. That was the thought. And I'm not sure, frankly, I've just saw the language of the amendment myself, if this is exactly the right language to accomplish that. But that was my thought. And, yes.
Ms. Ms. Reichardt Jung.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So what I'm hearing from Senator Han and the members, there needs to be some sort of like a sponsor, like a charter school has a sponsor, a public sponsor to oversee this. And maybe what you might want to do is include that in here, which might be a sponsor, that might be someone that might include the legislature and the commissioners, perhaps together, to look at this. There is a piece at the end here that does talk about how before a PB performance-based contract goes into effect, it does need to go to the chairs and the ranking minority members of the legislative committees. And so it may be something about that might be the oversight, maybe broaden that out a little bit, so that maybe you have a team that's established between the commissioner and the oversight committees, the chairs of the committee, and everybody has to kind of sign off on whether they think this one is appropriate or give input or something like that. That might be a little bit more specific to what I'm hearing the concern to be, rather than basically creating another working group, because we've got the task force in the second bill. That's already going through, so we'd have two task forces, actually. But if the sponsor thing is, we could work that through, so that there's a sponsor looking over your shoulder before this goes into effect, and I totally think that's a legitimate point.
Senator Hayne.
And Madam Chair, and I appreciate that, and I'm not trying to belabor the charter school analogy mm-hmm. too heavily here, but and maybe sponsor isn't exactly the right way to look at it. But mostly what I was trying to do was create some way to have the departments that are being asked to do this to also think about how they're going to do it before they do it, and to make sure that we understand that before we agree to delegate broad powers to do things when it may not be clear exactly what the impact of that decision might be. So that was really the intent of the amendment, to try to create a little bit of a space so people can think about, well, if we're going to be asked to do that, what does that look like, and how would we do that, and what's the appropriate way to interact with the legislature, and how do those broad powers so that it isn't just sort of arbitrary or at the discretion of an individual who happens to be a commissioner at a certain time.
Senator Berglund.
Well, I think the charter school analogy is interesting, but I don't think that it's entirely appropriate in this area, because when we're talking about charter schools, we're talking about primarily state funds that we're choosing to spend in a certain way to accomplish a purpose that we might have accomplished in another way previously. But when we're talking about this, we're talking about a lot of state federal money. And so just saying, well, we're going to waive certain rules isn't like, it isn't our choice to waive all those rules. And in many cases, it's not our choice even to give people their money to go buy their own service. And so, kind of what I hear the department saying is that because this bill says may, it doesn't have a fiscal note, but also because it says may, probably nothing's going to happen. So I tend to agree with your amendment, but I also think it needs to get paid for.
Senator Han.
And Madam Chair, and I certainly am not trying to create a fiscal note, and I'm also trying to do what we can to move this idea forward. As was mentioned, there are two or three bills that are sort of directionally taking the same path. And I think in talking with Mr. Lobeko, I understood that if we, in the amendment, didn't call it a working group or tried to do some things to perhaps not provoke a fiscal cost, that we might be able to do that. I'm not certain. And Mr. Lobeko, if you've got some comment on that.
Madam Chair, Senator Han, and members of the committee, that may be true. I was referring more to the possibility of it not having to go to another committee. There's some issue with perhaps it may have to go to state government. Talking with Mr. Bodden, he thought there may be some tweaks that would be made that would not require it to go to another committee.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Han, I would like this idea to be able to move along as much as it can also. But what I heard the fiscal note is about staffing that would be required for this working group at the department level. And I don't think just changing the name of what the group is going to diminish the need for that staff.
Senator Handy.
You could be right. My thought was originally that if we pass the bill as it is, it would certainly require activities to be done at the department level, and probably some of the activities that we're calling for in the amendment would have to be done. I don't know that you could execute what's in the bill unless there was some work done by the department to say, well, how are we going to do this? And so the purpose of the amendment was just to try to call that out and try to do that as a designated first step and do that deliberately rather than just have it happen.
Senator Berkland.
Madam Chair, thank you, and Senator Hinn. I think because the bill is permissive, if the department has resources, they would do it, but if they don't, they won't.
I'll get back on this.
And so that's why it doesn't generate the fiscal note that an amendment that says that the commissioner shall do things would.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Higgins.
There are working groups working throughout state government in every department that nobody at the legislature told them to do. And I suspect that if Senator Hand had a conversation with the Commissioner of Human Services or whatever other departments might need to be involved with this and ask them if they do that, they don't even need a bill. They can just go to work doing the things that we expect them to do without having a bill to tell them to do it.
And
Senator Hand.
And Madam Chair, and maybe to the point that Senator Berkland is making, if we, on the amendment, change that shall on line 1.4 to may, it becomes permissive again. It does change a little bit the direction of what we're asking the department to do, but that might be one way to, as you point out, if they can, they will, and if they can't, they won't.
Madam Chair.
Senator Berkland.
Along those lines, I think also on 2.4 you would want to change the must.
And Senator Hand, we probably should get the department up here, Ms. Bartolik, and could you give us your thoughts on if this helps a fiscal note?
Madam Chair and Senators, we are interested in this, so the May to be permissive does give us the opportunity, if we have the resources, to do it, if there's ways of leveraging this activity with other activities so that we can find ways of going forward, it would give us the opportunity to do it. It's when it's an expectation with certain timelines and certain details that are not discretionary that it becomes difficult to make a commitment.
Okay. Senator Hamm?
Perhaps to the point that Senator Berglund was raising about the line 2.4, if we added something, and I could get help from counsel, if a working group is established, comma, then the commissioner must make a report.
Well, that's another way to do it, but
my point is I think I want to make this permissive and allow them to do it, but if they do it, I would like to have some kind of counting back to the legislature. That would be my intent with that kind of language. And if that's I guess I would assume that if the department can do this, if they decide to do that, that then they would be able to absorb the cost of producing a report as well. That would be my point.
Ms. Bartolik.
Yes, Madam Chair, I agree that if we do have the resources to get to this point to frame it up, we could provide information about what that looked like to the legislature.
Right. I would like to ask some comments from Mr. Lobeco, if you're ready.
Madam Chair, one moment, please.
Oh, no problem. Ms. Reichach-Dan.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm thinking this through a little bit, and I'm thinking that if I were in the shoes of the department, that I would actually think a working group would be more work than what is actually in the original bill. Because in the original bill, there's a may about whether they'd even be designated as a performance-based organization, and then there's a may as to whether they would even implement any contract. For example, there might be a performance-based contract that doesn't require any work at all because the things are in place and they simply just want to give a little flexibility and put that in a contract, and it might not require a lot of work, but a task force or a working group would. I think, though, that the issue that has been raised about making sure there's accountability and control and report back to the legislature is very, very important. And I think that that's the piece that probably is missing. But I think that the concern I have, Senator Hand, is that actually may be more costly to the department to do the working group. Because let me just share with you, in the task force bill that went through yesterday, there was no fiscal note there because it's written in the bill that the appointees to the task force are going to actually staff it, so that the Human Services Department does not. So I'm just wondering if we're not making it a little bit more more work here. So
you're saying that we perhaps, since we have not adopted the A1 amendment, perhaps we can fix up the original bill. I'm not Senator Hand.
Madam Chair, and I understand, and the amendment was just a kind of on the fly trying to see what we could do to craft something that might not be a blanket designation of authority, not clearly understanding what the impact might be. But perhaps if we looked at the original bill, setting aside the amendment for a second, looking at subdivision 3 on page 2, lines 2.15 to 2.17, it has to do with funding, where we're authorizing an agreement to do some things that this is one of the more broad-based powers that I think we may want to know a little bit more about before we agree to do it. But if we deleted that particular subdivision entirely.
Subdivision 3.
And then sent the bill off without that, that may address some of the concerns that Ms. Reichgott-Young is raising and perhaps would facilitate the work that we're hoping to do. I'm just, again, sort of thinking out loud here.
Comments?
Ms. Reichgott? That would certainly work, I think, in trying to address the issues that have been raised.
Madam Chair?
Senator Higgins.
May I ask, is this bill moving in the House? Has it made deadline?
Senator Hamm.
Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, it is moving in the House. I'm not certain if this particular piece has made the deadline in the House. I don't believe it has.
Well, I'm sorry, what do you mean?
It's finance right now, so it has one more stop.
I'm understanding it has one more stop in the House, this particular bill. But is that today? Can't be scheduled today, so they would not make deadline in the House. The other two portions of the bill have made the deadlines, or of the idea have made the deadlines.
It has passed two committees already, but it's gained.
Okay, Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Hand, maybe you could just explain to me how a performance-based contract would be entered into by the Department of Human Services with anybody if there's no funding for it.
Ms. Reichgott-Young.
Madam Chair, Senator Berglund, let me just give you an example. Lutheran Social Service does a lot of consumer-directed work with people with disabilities. We've had a number of innovative things that we've been doing for our services. We might say to the department, if we can agree that we'll serve these 100 individuals with these special needs in this way, but we just would ask the waiver of one or two particular things here that have been that we think would allow us more opportunity to do this more cost effectively, but without harming the safety or the quality of life of the individual. Could we try that? And then it would probably be the writing of a contract and putting those outcomes in the contract, what's going to be waived, and it would then you have a performance-based contract. And it could be just one, it could be four, it could be three. The reason for this bill as part of the My Life, My Choices is so we can try some of these small items, pilot projects, to inform the work of the task force as they prepare the bigger redesign for next year. So this is intended to be small projects like that. There might be a couple counties up in northern Minnesota, I know, that are interested in doing some work like this. So yeah, that's the kind of work that would be involved.
Senator Berglund.
So, Madam Chair and Ms. Reichcott Young, does this mean that all we're talking about is amending contracts that organizations might already have with the Department of Human Services?
Ms. Reichcott Young.
Madam Chair, Senator Berglund, no, not amending. There might be things that we are not doing now that that we could do differently, but because of a particular rule or procedural law that can't be done right now. So it might be a whole new idea. And I'm not the Health and Human Services expert on this, Senator Berglund. I'm sorry, I can't give you examples of that. But what I can say is that we're talking about very specific outcomes, very specific areas, a specific group of individuals, serving them differently to try something new, see how it works, and see if it might be a way to get to the redesign of this system with the focus on the individuals. Might be more transparency in the budgeting. I'm not sure. I'm not the expert on that part.
Senator Berglund.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm just having a hard time envisioning what this would be. I mean, we do already have a consumer-directed program. And if it's, if it's an amendment to a contract to allow some deviations in that, I understand that, but I don't understand, like, all of a sudden we're going to have a new Medicaid waiver, so to speak, as a pilot project, because, you know, really and truly something like that should be thought out more than this bill envisions before we would go ahead with it. And so, you know, if you could get a little more specific about what it is you're thinking you want to do, that might be helpful.
Ms. Reichcott Young.
Madam Chair, Senator Berglund, the only analogy I can go to back is as charter schools, but let me just use that analogy, is that we in passing the authority to create a performance-based contract, which was a charter school contract, we were not about what that might be, because the beauty of it was that it could be any kind of different curriculum that might serve the need of the individual student. Same here. We don't want to be in the business of describing what that might look like. We want to be in the business of opening up an opportunity to try something that might better serve the individual and provide a better quality of life. So the hope would be that ultimately you could have, when the system is redesigned in the future, many different opportunities to do that differently. So wouldn't want to prescribe what those are. On the other hand, you'd want to have the conversation, and you would have a conversation with the department very specifically, and that conversation would occur as to what the outcomes are and what would need to be waived for that specific group of people. And that's the beauty of this, is that it would come out of a conversation. It would be an agreement that both parties would decide.
Senator Hand.
Madam Chair and Senator Berglund, I appreciate your point. It was kind of the thought behind trying to craft some kind of interim step here. I'm not sure that my amendment is really going to do that sufficiently well that would avoid other entanglements. But I appreciate what you're saying. But I am in agreement with the point being made that it may be difficult for us to clearly anticipate exactly what we're going to get. But I think the goal of trying to allow the department to work with others outside the department to find some ways to do things better is a good goal. And how do we facilitate that or encourage that to occur? So I know we still have the A1 amendment before us, and I could go either way. I think if we went back to the original bill, I would want to at least remove Subdivision 3 to make sure that we haven't broadened the powers of the that we're delegating to that extent. But the overall purpose of trying to create some opportunity for rethinking how we do things is a good one.
Senator Berglund.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess I would feel more comfortable about this whole thing if we said that the department would entertain these conversations, and when it's determined what exactly we are going to do for these pilot projects, that we then have the bill come back to the legislature to authorize it. I mean, we've had Remember all the work you had to do just to get this pilot project in southern Minnesota around chemical dependency? Really, I mean, and this, it's like, it could be anything. We don't know what it is. And I think there probably would be a lot of expectations if we pass this bill that something's going to happen, and my expectation is nothing's going to happen because it's too vague. It's too...
Maybe this is...
There would need to be further legislative authorization before something really could happen.
And Madam Chair, Senator Berglund, is that an argument to look at the A1 amendment as a preferable route, which would, in effect, contemplate that, telling the department, if you think there's merit in this, go ahead, form a group, tell us how you would do it, and then prepare a report, at which point the legislature would be in a position to act or not?
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Hinn, I tend to like the A1 amendment better than the bill because I think it might actually accomplish something, but we're also being told they already have a bill that sort of does this, mm-hmm. So maybe we don't need two of them going on. Maybe instead of a working group, maybe... we should ask the Commissioner of Human Services in conjunction with other executive branch agencies to discuss with potential contractors how they would structure an RF or a contract, a performance-based contract, and bring back recommendations to the next legislature that would authorize those kind of contracts to be entered into.
Senator Hamm?
But I, Madam Chair, I still don't know that gets you out of having to have...
a fiscal note.
Yeah.
Well, I...
Can we combine the two?
If we go back and look at the original bill, if the subdivision 3 with respect to the funding approval were eliminated, I look at that as restricting the ability of the department to go too far, if you will, on its own authority to do things that would be... perhaps beyond the scope of what the legislature might contemplate right now. It would still give flexibility to the department to figure out how this structure would work.
Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair, Senator Hand, I think there are massive amounts of work that our departments do every day that aren't directed by the legislature. Now, this is the second time I've said this in this same hearing. And I would suggest you'd go talk to the commissioner, ask whether his department, her department, I forgot who we have in the commissioner there, can do this work, lay this bill aside, and just do it without having a bill. And then when there's some work for us to look at, have a bill, bring it back next year, or the... after the election, whenever it's ready for us. If we're struggling this hard and trying to figure out this bill, there's something wrong with it. And maybe the best thing to do is just to go have a conversation and make a request without having a bill. I really think that's the best way to do it.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, Senator Hand, perhaps... the thing to do is to add to the other bill that already has this working group in it that they should bring back recommendations to the legislature about how performance-based contracts should be structured, what limitations they should have, what rules should be allowed to be waived, etc. And then we get there without having to do two bills. I don't know where that bill is, but I think it passed out of here just recently. And I think it went to state government, so.
can amend it in state government. Senator Hahn.
I'm not sure where that bill is, to be honest with you. I think... Okay.
We believe it's state government. Mr. Reichardt, yeah.
Madam Chair, maybe it'd be better if I just gave the distinction that the task force bill is very, very different than this bill. And the task force bill is going to be tasked with looking at what a system would look like for that person with the individual with the disability being in the center of the system, and what, and there would be overall thinking about which rules and laws would need to stay in place and which wouldn't. And the task force would talk about that and would decide and talk about which ones should stay in place, which shouldn't, what could make this system look different. What this is a bill that, separate and apart from that, that allows for new tools for the state agencies, up to three state agencies, one of which would be the Department of Human Services. New tools to simply allow for allowing the entering into like a charter school contract. So a contract with a group of people with disabilities with the department, a small, very small microcosm of what the task force might look at eventually. But my point is they're two different purposes. And the performance-based contracting needs, you have to allow, the legislature must direct the commissioner, give them the authority in order to waive these rules in order to even do a performance-based contract. If this doesn't pass and doesn't give that waiver, you cannot even consider what a performance-based contract might look like. And so all this does is give the opportunity to make it happen. They don't have to do it if they don't wish to do it. But without this, it's very different from the task force and what the task force is designing. So I'm not sure I'm saying that very well, but the bottom line is this: we cannot go forward with any kind of a performance-based contract without the authority provided by the legislature for them to do it. How we limit that and how the accountability we put in there is certainly a very legitimate question, but this is very different than the task force, and I really just wanted to make that clear.
Senator Berkley.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess what I'm saying is I'm not comfortable moving ahead with granting performance-based contracts without having the work of that task force done.
Senator
Hahn. That's my own feeling, and I'm not comfortable even waiving what somebody might consider to be small rules and regulations that somebody else thought were put there to protect that consumer without knowing what they are before we vote to do it.
Senator Hahn.
Pertinent to this discussion, subdivision 5 of the bill, going back to the bill, that requires the department commissioner, I assume, to report. It may be possible to make that stronger language so that what this would say right now is that before they enter into the contract, they need to make a report, but we could make that stronger and ask for that contract to be reviewed by the committee or that has jurisdiction, and subject to the approval of the committee, they can go forward, so that it would give the department the flexibility to create the structure or create the organization, but before they actually did anything, would have to come back to the legislature and be reviewed. And in the course, perhaps, of working this out, there might be, and my original thought on the amendment was to create some kind of a structure that would facilitate that, but maybe initially if we just said, look, go ahead and think of these things. Before you do them, you have to bring it back to the legislature and get approval. And if we did that, that may be a way to proceed here.
Senator Berkley.
Madam Chair and Senator Hahn, I think that's kind of what I was getting at before, that, you know, I thought maybe this task force that's already passed this committee could be the ones to bring that back. But, I mean, if somebody else wants just the commissioners to do it, then I'm fine with that too. But I do think that what we're talking about here is pretty vague, and I mean, Lutheran Social Services is a great organization, but they may not be the ones that actually end up with this contract, and we may not be so happy with what's getting waived.
Well, if council could suggest some language on that section, that subdivision, that would strengthen that reporting requirement to make it clear that nothing could be done without the legislature's approval.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, members of the committee, yes, on page of the original bill, page 2, line 26, if we struck the number one, before entered into a performance-based organization, so that would be stricken. And then on, and I'll reread this, but and then on page 2, line 28, after the colon or semicolon apply, insert language that says the legislature must approve a performance-based organization before the state agency may enter into a performance-based agreement, and then the rest of it would be deleted.
And so, Mr. LeBaker, read, I guess, would be whatever, paragraph 1 or clause 1 in its entirety as you have amended it or proposed to amend it.
Yes, and actually just one quick clarification, too, on page 2, line 25, I believe that colon would need to be eliminated. And so it would read, I'll just read the entire subdivision if that's okay with members of the committee. The chief executive of the state agency whose program is subject to a performance-based organization must report to the chairs and ranking minority members of the legislative policy and finance committees with jurisdiction over the program on the proposed content of the performance-based organization and specifically describing any procedural laws, rules, and policies that will not apply, period. The legislature must approve a performance-based organization before the state agency may enter into a performance-based agreement, period.
They're talking about that. If staff, I came in the middle of this discussion. Was the A1 amendment moved? Are we currently considering that or not?
It was moved, and it has been.
We're still considering.
Amendments to it are pending.
So. Okay. I just wanted to know that before we got to a point of maybe moving this language, because that is to the bill. Right. I just wanted to make sure I understood where
we're
at. So
we Mr.
are
Chairman,
considering the A1 amendment. You can withdraw that. And
Mr. Chairman,
that
let's clarify this. Why don't I withdraw the A1 amendment for the time being here, because
Senator
we sort
Hand
of turned our attention to the bill itself. And the question that we're discussing here briefly, maybe we could just be more public about it. There is I think the language that Mr. Lobeko has suggested would require that before these performance-based structures were put into place that essentially the legislature would have to approve them. And the question is being raised, if something were to need to be done in the interim between legislative sessions, how would that be done? Or would we just say, well, nothing could be done until the legislature approved it? And I'd like to ask some comment here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think this is we're on a good track here. I'm looking at subdivision 4, and this is something that, for those of you who have been around a while, there was a similar provision in the old Government Board of Innovation and Cooperation. And here's what happened there. When there was a contract like this, a waiver of some rules, by local governments or whatever, the legislature had to ratify that the immediate next session. And that's what this language in Subdivision 4 is, where they had to ratify it by the end of the next legislative session. So let's say a contract is entered into in September, and it's moving ahead. The legislature would have to approve those waivers by the end of the next session. Or else it's done. It can't go forward. Well, you could possibly amend the language in Subdivision 4 to just basically say that. Instead of saying an exemption from a procedural law, just say any PB, any contract that's entered into would have to be ratified by the legislature or it expires. And that That may solve the problem. But that would then reflect what this legislature did with the Government Board of Innovation for about 8 or 10 years when they had the opportunity to waive rules and procedural laws.
Senator Hand?
So, Mr. Chairman, just so I'm clear, so that the suggestion would be to, first of all, require that before entering into contract, this would have to be approved by the legislature. However, if something were initiated while the legislature was not in session, it would be permitted to go ahead, but it would have to be acted upon affirmatively by the next legislature in order for it to continue. And is that essentially the gist of the idea?
Ms. Rice Scott Young?
Mr. Chair, under the government board, it was just the latter. So whenever it was approved, it was just the next legislative session. I mean, that it would be. But you could do it either way. I'm,
I see.
It's up to you.
Senator Berglund, were you trying to get my attention? No.
And, Mr. Chairman, I guess at this point what I'm comfortable with, and we may not be in full agreement here, what I'm comfortable with is, and I'm going to offer this as an oral amendment, is to strike the subdivision 3 that we discussed earlier with respect to funding authority and then go down to subdivision 5 and accept the language that Mr. Lobeko has suggested and... not go any further than that at this point, which would, in my mind, suggest that these suggested contracts would have to get legislative approval.
Okay, and, Senator Hand has moved to strike subdivision 3 and insert the language that Mr. Lobeko read to us earlier. I think we had some new members come in. Would you like that reread?
Mm-hmm.
Could you do that, Mr. Lobeko?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Beginning on page 2, line 26, delete, starting with the number 1 through the comma on organization. And then on page 2, line 28, after the semicolon, delete the semicolon and everything else on line 28 and 29. Insert a period after apply, and then insert the language, the legislature must approve a performance-based organization before the state agency may enter into a performance-based agreement, period.
Is that clear, members? Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is clear, but I think that Mr. Reichscott Young brought us back to Subdivision 4, and Subdivision 4 would no longer be necessary were we to adopt this pre-approval by the legislature. So, you know, to make this, we should strike subdivision 4 if we're to adopt this amendment as well, I would say.
And
Senator Hand?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure, Senator Lurie, that that's necessarily the case. We still may wish to have these organizations not be extend longer than 3 years and compel them to be renewed. So I'm not sure that I would agree that we should strike that. All it's saying is that it still has to conform to that structure, but you need to get approved by the legislature before you go forward.
Senator Lurie.
At least the second sentence in subdivision 4 would be redundant because it would call for another approval of the legislature when we just asked for a pre-approval of the legislature. And truthfully, if we're going to come to the legislature for a pre-approval and a 3-year limit is something that is wise, I would think we could address that during the pre-approval process. So, I mean, I think we could strike both sentences if we're going to adopt the pre-approval, but at least the second sentence. I could go either way.
Senator Hand, you want to incorporate some
Mr. Chairman,
I'd
incorporate that, and I would also ask that perhaps subdivision 4 and 5 could be collapsed and be called something like duration reporting and legislative approval instead of having one of the sections just be one sentence.
So
if we could incorporate all that,
have that all
into an amendment.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, I do have it square in my head, and it will be on. Yes, I do. Yes.
All right. So I would, Mr. Chairman, renew the oral amendment to make those changes.
All right. So Senator Hand has moved the amendment, as we've just discussed, and council has that all squared away. Are there any questions by the members? Are you clear? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion fails. The amendment is adopted. We now have...
I think you meant the motion carries.
Motion carries, yeah, the amendment is adopted. We have Senate File 1137 as amended before us.
And, Mr. Chairman, I would move that the Senate File 1137 as amended be recommended pass and sent to the floor.
Senator Hanna has moved that Senate File 1137 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. Is there discussion or any questions? Senator Lurie.
Well, I mean, kind of to some of the points that Senator Higgins was making earlier, I believe that now we have before us a bill that says that the governor and his agencies can do things if the legislature say that the governor is and his agencies can do things. So with that comment, I guess I'm ready to vote.
And, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Lurie, it says they may do things.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Just wanted to correct that so that
we
don't get a fiscal note.
Okay. So on Senator Hand's motion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. The bill sent to the floor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members.
We now have Senate File 1169 before us. Is also Senator Hand's bill. Senator Hand.
And Mr. Chairman, which one did you suggest we take up?
1169, as 1169. Suggested to me by staff.
And Mr. Chairman and members, 1169 I'm not even sure what 1169 does.
Staff is telling us they can give us an overview here, I believe. Is that what you said?
Do I have an overview?
No. Staff will verbally do it.
No, I mean, not hand one out, but just verbally give us an overview here. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Senator Hand, we will do that.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hand and members, Senate File 1169 modifies the Department of Human Services Licensing Act, and specifically the law related to special family daycare homes. And these are non-residential child care programs serving 14 or fewer children at a location other than the license holder's residence. And what this bill does is it adds another category of licensure under new paragraph F for license holders who can provide the daycare in a commercial space. And then the new requirements for that program are listed under the new paragraph F.
Thank you.
Right, Senator Hand, any additional comments? Otherwise, any questions from the members on the committee? Do we have any? Senator Berglund.
Somebody could just review for us the need for this bill. What's the problem?
Senator Hand, if you want to talk to that, unless there's someone.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Berglund, this was language that was brought to me by the author in the other body. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not quite certain what the issue that was raised, but my understanding is that it is not a controversial issue, and I said that we would try to help get this moved along, but I can't answer what the particular need that was being raised. So
I will ask, is there anyone in the room that is wishing to speak to this bill, for or against? So you want to ask that question, you stand up. I'm going to call you to the table now. He's walking out. Right, I don't see any additional questions or comment. Senator Hand, do you want to move this bill? Send it, I presume, to
Mr. Chairman, yes, I'd like to move that Senate File 1169 be recommended pass and sent to the floor.
Senator Hand moves that Senate File 1169 be recommended to pass and sent to the Senate floor. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. The bill is passed and sent to the floor. And going in numerical order, Senator Hahn, we next have Senate File 1170.
117. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I believe there is an amendment on this bill. I think it is a delete all.
Looks like we have an A3 amendment that's a delete all. Does that sound correct to you, Senator Hahn?
Yes.
Okay. Senator Hahn moves the A3 amendment to Senate File 1170. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. The amendment is adopted. We now have Senate File 1170 as amended before us. Senator Hahn.
And, Mr. Chairman, I believe there may be somebody here to testify on this, and I'd like to invite them to come forward. And I need to have a copy of the amendment if staff can provide one.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Lisa Rodegar from the Department of Human Services. I believe this delete all does, the main thing it does is remove any fiscal implications, makes this procedure or process a may and available to be used. Secondly, it gets rid of some technical issues with some changes to words. I think we changed social service to lead agency. And then it aligns some timelines with the regular hearings or appeals process set in the statute where it's sitting. So.
Okay. Are there any questions, members? Senator Brickland.
Don't we already have a process like this?
I believe.
I mean, Senator, I know it isn't real familiar to people because it isn't ever used, but if we're going to create a second version of it and the first one isn't ever used, I'm just wondering why we think the second one would be used.
Senator Hahn, Ms. Rodegar?
I believe that there is something in the developmental disabilities law around conciliation and that this was modeled after that. And it also, it sort of opens it up to some additional options that aren't covered under the original fair hearings regulation, but it simplifies it because it allows a conference to occur at the same time or instead of an appeals process under certain circumstances. So it broadens it a little under the case management functions.
Any other questions, members? I don't see any. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to speak to this bill? I don't see any. Senator Hahn, you want to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, members, I move Senate File 1170 to be recommended, passed, and sent to the floor.
As amended?
As amended, I'm sorry.
Senator Hahn moves that Senate File 1170 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the Senate floor. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The bill is amended, is passed, sent to the floor.
And, Mr. Chairman, I believe we still have the original bill, and I've forgotten the
731, I believe.
731, which is the policy bill. Earlier we talked about there was an amendment that I was aware of that we were being asked to consider, and the persons involved with that amendment were not available. I believe they are available now, and I don't recall the amendment number, but I would like to take that bill from the table and offer that amendment.
Senator Hahn, did we just lay it over, or did we formally table it?
We just laid it over.
Okay. So we will now consider we have Senate File 731 before us. I've been handed an A3 amendment. Is that the amendment you wish to move, Senator Hahn?
Mr. Chairman, yes, and I'm looking to see where the folks were that were.
Well, Senator Hahn has moved the A3 amendment. I'm looking for someone that wants to testify.
We're checking.
Sure. Senator Hahn, do you want to do you want to tell us what this amendment does, or is that what we're going to hear from this fine lady?
I think we have our witnesses here, so if they would.
Okay. Senator Hahn, are they going to tell us what the amendment does?
Yes, do because okay. I'm not capable of
that. Please state your name for the record.
Katie Van Overmeeren.
Ms. Van Overmeeren?
Yes, very well.
And, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to invite the testifiers to tell us what we're doing here and why it needs to be done before we adopt the amendment.
Certainly. Ms. Van Overmeeren.
I guess what I'm here today is to talk about advanced ed and kind of, I guess, looking for the Department of Human Resources to recognize advanced ed as high quality. So low-income families, military families can receive, I should probably explain, a choice on their children's educational path.
Okay. And, Council, if you want to just give a little background on the amendment, logistically what's happening in the language here.
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, what this amendment does it allows a family child care provider or a child care center to receive the 15% rate differential. If the center holds a certain license, and we're amending what type of accreditation or license that child care center needs to have to include something called advanced ed, as issued by the North Central Association Commission on Accreditation and School Improvement. So people in the child care center who have this would be eligible for the 15% child care rate differential.
Senator Berglund.
So maybe somebody could tell us how this accreditation differs from the ones we already have in the statute.
Senator Hahn or Senator Laurie to that?
Well, if we're bringing more people in for a 15% increase above existing rates, is there a fiscal effect?
Senator Hahn?
Both those questions could be addressed.
I think that would mean that everybody else is going to get
Senator
a little
Berglund.
Less. It's up to 50.
Mr. Chairman, and
no.
Senator Laurie, it was my understanding that this does not have a fiscal impact, but it is relatively new to me, and my understanding was that this was allowing an additional accreditation to apply, but it would not have a fiscal impact, but I'm not.
Mr. Chair.
And if staff wants to chime in on that, Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, can somebody, as long as they're looking up for information to tell us about what is this organization, how many providers have been accredited by this this organization, how does their accreditation any different than all these other half a dozen ones that we have? I have to admit I've never heard of this.
Ms. Andrew.
Advanced Ed has been around for over 100 years. It's internationally. There's over 125 schools in Minnesota that have all been recognized by the Department of Education, including the St. Paul School District, the Hill Murray High School, the Blake School, the Breck School, Rasmussen College, have all deemed themselves high quality. And what we're just asking to be recognized is that advanced ed from the child care, early childhood aspect can be recognized as high quality. We feel our teachers, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Primrose Schools, and so I'm not a representative of advanced ed, but our school is advanced ed accredited. Our teachers are high quality. They're all lead teachers. And I feel that in itself is high quality on top of our accreditation. We're not asking to increase the cost in any way. We just want to give the parents the choice to choose what they feel is high quality and not limiting them in any way by saying our accreditation doesn't meet their standards. We want our accreditation to meet their standards and exceed their standards. And maybe raise the bar for NECPA, NACI, all of those to maybe up their game so they can see what high quality is.
Senator Berglund.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if 125 more programs are going to be eligible for a 15% increase in payment, either the ones that are getting it now are going to get less, or there has to be an increase in appropriation for the program. One of the two.
Senator Higgins. Senator Benson.
Mr. Chair, I just need some clarification. Does this make more people eligible or just more places available to people who are already eligible?
It is more.
Ms. Vanderbilt.
Sorry. It is exactly what you said. We're making it more choices for the families. We're not incorporating more schools. We're making more choices for the families that already receive these benefits. We're not giving parents or, I guess, expanding the range of who is qualified. It's just expanding the choices of where they can go.
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, and I'm just talking to a fiscal analyst, and we don't have a fiscal note for this, and this was brought to me relatively recently, but it's in his view that this would have a fiscal impact because it would allow for additional providers to be qualified for the rate differential, which if there are currently people who are attending facilities accredited by this organization, it would qualify them for an additional increase in payment. And I'm not sure what that would be, and we don't really know since we haven't had a chance to really get a fiscal note on this. So it may be not appropriate for us to try to take this up on a policy bill. So, and I don't know if Mr. Albrecht wants to comment on that, if I've stated that correctly or otherwise, but is that your understanding?
Mr. Chair and Senator Hand, at least just on my first look at this, that would have to be the case, yes.
All right. If that's the case, Mr. Chairman, I think it might, because it's uncertain to me what that might look like, and since this is not a budget bill, and I think it would be better if I just withdraw the amendment.
Senator Hand withdraws the A3 amendment.
Sorry, I just can't.
Thank you.
We now are back to the bill, Senate file, what's the number? 731.
Now we're going to amend 7479.
And Mr. Chairman, I have no further amendments.
Just want to put House.
What bill are we actually dealing with here?
Sorry,
I want to put Senator House.
Senator
language
Hand.
On it.
Senator Hand, I'm told that you have an amendment you want to make.
Is that it? Could be related to Senator Howe's bill.
Yes, Senate File
477. There was a desire to ask that bill be adopted into the policy bill. So I would move as an amendment that we adopt Senate File
477. The language
as amended.
Totally amended.
As totally amended.
Just amending the language.
Senate File 731.
Okay. So Senator Hand has moved that the language as amended, Senate File 477, which was Senator House bill, be amended onto his bill, Senate File 731. Is everyone clear? Is there any discussion on that? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. The amendment is adopted. We now have Senate File 731 as amended before us yet again.
And, Mr. Chairman, if there are no other amendments, then I would want to ask the committee to move the bill, and I would offer Senate File 731 be recommended to pass and sent to the floor.
As amended.
As amended.
This is the one, Mr. Chairman, that has to go to rules.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Senator Hand, do you
want to change the motion? Yes, I'll change the motion. Thank you, Senator Berglund. Recommended pass and sent to rules.
Senator Hand has moved that Senate File 731 withdraws his previous motion. Senator Hand has moved that Senate File 731 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to rules. Senator Benson has a question.
And actually, it's just a comment. I'm not asking for an amendment, but the dates on the simplification and eligibility enrollment process, I'd like us to work on moving those up a little closer, work with the department, and see how fast we can move that. Because while it's a good idea, we need to get it moving along a little faster, not put it off till 2013. And that's my only comment before we close this piece of legislation.
Thank you.
Okay, to Senator Hand's motion, is there any discussion, any questions? All right, then, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. The bill is amended, is sent out to rules.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members, for your patience. I know it's been a long day. I think we could probably conclude for the day.
That is correct, Senator Hand. There being no other business before the committee, we are now adjourned.